Case number 20-5409, Alan Rupp versus the Courier Journal. Argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Cox, you may proceed for the appellant.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Don Cox and I represent Alan Rupp. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes if I may.
All right.
This case is as clear as about the trademark Derby pie from 50 years ago. It's therefore non-contestable. It's been litigated dozens of times, mostly in the Sixth Circuit, including one case in front of Judge Seiler many years ago. The standard of review and the standard of making the initial decision are the important issues here because this was decided on a motion to dismiss. Obviously, the review is de novo, and the Hensley case, which is very important here, says you virtually never grant a motion to dismiss in a trademark case. And of course, the main reason for that is that you have this complicated eight-part test, which is really very heavily fact-weighted about likelihood of confusion. Before you get to that, you must prove trademark ownership. That's undisputed. You must prove whether the words are the same or similar. That's also undisputed here. And so that leads us to the eight-part test. The very first part of that test is the strength of the mark. And the mark here, as I said before, had been litigated many times, but this was not just against anybody. The very first case, a case which went up to the Sixth Circuit, and I argued again many years ago, was against Bon Appetit. We've had cases against Nestle's, and Judge Seiler's case was against PBS. None of those are entities that would be inclined to roll over. In this particular case, we attached three different sets of what we said were misuses of the mark. The first had to do with a restaurant called the Captain's Quarters in Louisville that was selling a Derby pie. The second had to do with a Derby pie denominated pastry, a macaroon. And then the third was a listing of advertisements on the Courier Journal website, which was never dealt with by the court at all. I think it's important, one thing is important to recognize is we are primarily a wholesaler. In other words, we sell not to the ultimate consumer, but to restaurants, to Kroger's, and to places like that. So when that's important because we have to consider who is consuming the mark, as it were. Now, in the opinion of the district court, there were several cases that were relied upon. There was the Sazerac case, which involved a distillery and the use of a distillery name, and the distillery was closed down for a long time, and then it opened back up. And the name of the distillery was really a geographic name. And so we were talking about a geographic name in the Sazerac case. The Oakland case was also about a geographic place, a racetrack. And finally, the Casa case involving Big D or Detroit also involved geographic names. So the reason...
Can I ask a question?
Yes, I'm sorry.
What is the gist of the most egregious part of this? Is it just saying there's a pie that comes out at Derby time, or is it the full name of the Derby pie and set out just the way that you have the trademark?
Well, I think the question is likelihood of confusion. So it doesn't have to be exactly the same. There are hundreds of cases which say the test is the name being used the same or similar? And here we had the same name, Derby Pie, the captain's quarters. We had Derby Pie. It was a macaroon, but it was still Derby Pie. And so even if you're just close is good enough in trademarks, I guess is the way.
So the statement that this pie was developed sometime near the Derby, is that a violation?
Saying,
it came out in the Courier Journal close to the Derby, the race that you know is the biggest thing in Kentucky generally. And just talking about a pie during the Derby time, is that a violation?
I think you'd have to see what the context of it was. If the context was that a recognition that Kern's Kitchen had invented this pie during Derby time, that would be tying the pie into us. But using Derby pie, whether it's around Derby time or any other time of the year, is protected by the Lanham Act. And that's why we have brought this action. And not all of the very first of the three issues that we are raising, three instances we're raising, was around Derby time. The second one was a month or so later, and the others were in January, having nothing to do with the Derby. So the reason I say that Sazerac, Oaklawn, Casa, and Hensley, the first three involve geographic marks, and Hensley involves a personal name. And under Section 1115B4, all of those are more or less protected. So you have a much more stringent situation in Sazerac, Oaklawn, Casa, and Hensley when you're trying to trademark something that's either geographic or a person's name. The other issue that we have, main issue we have with the district court, is the district court in two instances said that, well, this product has different ingredients in it than the regular Derby pie. So the one was said to have whiskey or alcohol in it, and Derby pie doesn't. Well, that's not the test at all. That's the patent test, and we're talking about trademarks. The ingredients of the product, as the CAE versus Clean Air case made very clear, the ingredients of the product are not crucial. What's crucial is likelihood of confusion. The other product, the macaroon product, macaroon Derby pie, has different ingredients in it, but again, it's using our name, and the question is a fact question. And we're up here on a motion to dismiss.
So if you went to trial, you're going to prove that there was a confusion among people in Louisville and Kentucky, that this is the same thing? Is that what you would
Among consumers, yes. Yeah, there was confusion. The test is likelihood of confusion.
Well, so, if they use the statement, Derby macaroon pie, is that a violation? Is that a trademark infringement?
I believe it is, but I believe that's a fact question. And as the Sixth Circuit ruled the first time we were up many, many years ago, these kinds of issues generally resolve themselves around surveys. So you try to figure out how many people would be confused about source. I see my time has expired.
All right. We'll hear from opposing counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. Michael Abadi on behalf of the Courier Journal. The district court correctly dismissed plaintiff's trademark claims in this lawsuit. In reality, this case began as a trademark dilution claim, where the plaintiff was alleging that confusion of this sort he was just describing somehow diluted the brand and required the Courier Journal to conduct corrective advertising to clear up confusion. But as we pointed out in the motion to dismiss, Congress expressly forbid bringing a trademark dilution claim against a newspaper. That's in section 1125C3B, the plain on the face of the law at the time this suit was filed. What remains after plaintiffs withdrew that claim is an infringement claim that alleges the Courier Journal, which is a newspaper, somehow infringed plaintiff's mark by publishing news stories around the time of the Kentucky Derby concerning pastries. Now, the Courier Journal does not produce pastries. It does not sell a competing product to the one that plaintiff produces. And there is no conceivable basis for even finding an infringement claim in this case. The district court correctly held that under the law of this circuit, a threshold test must be addressed before going to the 8-part likelihood of confusion test that opposing counsel has discussed this morning. And that threshold test in this circuit is called the trademark use test. And I'll explain why we think the court correctly applied that. But I will note that even if this court were to disagree for some reason with the threshold application of trademark use, the First Amendment also bars this claim. The Sixth Circuit has recognized a First Amendment defense in trademark infringement claims. And here we're talking about news stories, which are plainly entitled to First Amendment protection. So even if there was no ground to affirm on trademark use, this court should affirm on the alternative ground of trademark use, a pleading stage dismissal. The alternative ground of the First Amendment. I'll briefly begin by touching on the trademark use test, which we think was appropriately applied here. In this circuit, the test is that if the defendants are only using a trademark in a non-trademark way, that is, in a way that does not identify the source of a product, then trademark infringement and false designation of origin laws do not apply. This is a gate that you got to get through before you can even state a claim under the Lanham Act. And in the CASA case that we've relied on, this court held that where banners advertising using a phrase that had been otherwise trademarked, welcome to the D, where they did not advertise any goods or services, where they did not identify the plaintiff as the source of any particular event or thing advertised, and where they did not suggest any association between the trademark and the thing being promoted, then there was no trademark use at all. That's exactly the same thing here. These articles, the two articles that are primarily in question in this appeal, do not advertise any product for sale. They are news stories about restaurants and bakeries in the community. They do not identify Kern's Kitchen as the source of any of those goods. They expressly disclaim that. In fact, they tell you who is the source of the products pictured. And they don't suggest any association whatsoever between the plaintiff in this case and the product being sold. So under the law of this circuit, there is no trademark use and dismissal is appropriate. Mr. Cox suggested this morning that the dismissal can never be made prior to the 8-part likelihood of confusion test, and he relied upon Hensley. And I find that interesting because in the very next sentence after the one that Mr. Cox has quoted repeatedly in this case, this court goes on to say, well, typically you don't resolve such a case on a motion to dismiss. When you're talking about the trademark use defense, it is entirely appropriate to do so. And this court has affirmed or called for the pleading stage dismissal of trademark cases, not only in Hensley, but in the Casa case, in the Oaklawn Jockey case, and in the Interactive Products Corp case, where it first established trademark use. The court said that that could have been decided at the pleading stage. So the notion that this case somehow has to wait for summary judgment for him to take discovery is just simply incorrect. We think that the district court correctly applied that test here and found that, as the court said, quote, you know, a reader would not think that the defendant, a newspaper, produced Derby
Pop. Counsel, in terms of the need for discovery, are there any contested factual issues that are not clear or agreed upon at this juncture of the proceedings?
No, Your Honor, we don't think there are, because again, under this court's test, whether the usage is trademark usage is a threshold question. And if the plaintiff can't get over that, and we believe he can't, as the district court found, then there are no eight factors to apply. So if the use is not trademark use, that's the end of the case. But Judge Clay, I'll note there's another reason why there's no discovery necessary here, and I'll pivot briefly to our First Amendment argument. There is, in this circuit, a First Amendment defense in trademark cases. And the test is that if speech is protected by the First Amendment, you cannot bring a trademark claim against it unless there is no relevance for the use of that protected speech in the work or the article in question, or there is an overt misrepresentation as to the source of the thing being depicted. Now here, the district court declined to rely on that defense on the ground that this court presumably wouldn't apply the First Amendment defense it's already recognized to newspaper stories. We submit respectfully that that's just wrong. The press is in the text of the First Amendment. There's no basis for refusing to apply an established First Amendment defense to news coverage. And in fact, quite the opposite. In all manner of litigation raising First Amendment defenses, the Supreme Court and the circuit courts have recognized the need for prompt resolution of claims so as not to chill constitutionally protected speech. And that's particularly true with newspaper stories. In defamation cases, for example, courts have recognized you should resolve them as early as possible to prevent the chilling of constitutionally protected speech. What the plaintiff is attacking here is not competing sales by the Courier Journal of a product like theirs. They're attacking news coverage of restaurants selling goods that they think are too close to their own. They didn't sue the people that they believe are directly infringing. They sued the newspaper for covering those. And to Judge Seiler's questions earlier, I think it's extremely relevant. We're talking about a news story, the first story published on Kentucky Derby Day.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that the Courier Journal could test drive a Chevrolet and have the name Chevrolet there? And this is similar to that because they're saying what the restaurants do with this Derby pie. Is that the same sort of thing?
Yes, Your Honor. If I understand the question, accurate news reporting on the source of a good that's being reviewed or profiled, pictured, plainly is protected by the First Amendment, but it's also not a trademark violation. The real core of the question is, in a trademark infringement case, is the defendant attempting to pass off someone else's product as its own? Are we trying to trade profit off of the name of some other product that we didn't develop? And if there's anything like that going on here, I think it is plaintiff attempting to trade off the name of the Kentucky Derby. To Your Honor's questions, not any instance of a dessert in the word Derby is owned by the plaintiff. They can't control all coverage of pies or ice cream or macaroons or whatever it is in the run-up to the Kentucky Derby. In Louisville, in Kentucky, Derby is the biggest event of the year. Over 100,000 people come in annually. The news coverage by the Courier surrounding those events is some of the most read coverage of the year from locals and visitors alike. And profiles of the food scene of parties, of social events are widely read throughout the community. So we can't be sued for using the word derby when talking about a party that was held or some other charity event. And similarly here, where read the articles, look at them. There's no reasonable suggestion that the Courier-Journal is trying to trade off of the plaintiff's name by selling its own product. It doesn't sell its own competing product. It was covering community news, and that is plainly protected by the First Amendment.
Let me ask you this. If the word derby in relation to a product or service can be widely used or disseminated, what did the plaintiff gain or obtain by trademarking the word derby? You've been explaining what's not covered, but what, in your thinking of a theory about the case, what is it that they are protecting?
Well, Your Honor, I will also disagree with Mr. Cox on the notion that the trademark is unassailable. In a prior case that came up to this court, the trademark was struck down as being generic, as not being a protectable name. In fact, we're not there in this case yet, we may get there, but there have been instances of pies called Derby Pie in print across the country long before they tried to trademark their name. So we don't agree that this trademark is unassailable. We do agree it's been registered a long time, but that may yet be an issue in this case. But the point here, Your Honor, is if you look at these stories, whatever is protected isn't remotely infringed by this news coverage. None of these stories are attempting to portray a product as one that is sold by anything that is being sold by the Courier-Journal, which is nothing. We are not talking about secondary infringement here. At page 9, footnote 5 of the opinion, the district court made clear that any theory that the Courier-Journal is liable because Captain's Quarters or the Derby City Macaroon Shop sold a product that may have infringed plaintiff's mark, that failed as a matter of law, and plaintiff did not appeal, that's not in their brief, that's not on the table. So even if, hypothetically, there were some infringement by those others, and we don't believe there is, we can't be liable for that secondarily. That claim is gone in this case. It's gone like the dilution claim. It's gone like the fraud claim that wasn't appealed. And I have to add, this Mr. Cox referenced 3 sources of potential damages here. There's only 2, the 2 articles, the one about Captain's Quarters and the one about the Derby Pie Macaroon Shop. These advertisements, as he said, not addressed by the district court, not referenced in the brief on appeal, those are no longer part of this case. But even if they were, the trademark statute, Your Honor, is quite clear at 15 U.S.C. 1114, subsection 2B, that if we're talking about an advertisement in a newspaper, and that advertisement was found to be infringing, you may not recover monetary damages against a newspaper for that. The sole available remedy would be an injunction against future advertisements of this sort. Now, that's not on the table because they didn't appeal that issue that's been waived, but we're still not talking about a claim where at the end of the day, they're gonna get damages. And entirely apart from the trademark use test and entirely apart from the First Amendment test, that's another fatal flaw at the core of this case. There are no damages here that they have suffered. We haven't sold a competing product to make profits that could be disgorged. They haven't alleged a single person failed to buy their pie because a recipe existed of a pie from a different restaurant or because a photograph existed of a macaroon sold by another bakery in town. There's no damage. And plainly, there's no right to get an injunction against a newspaper to prohibit the use of the word derby in close proximity to pie in the future. That would be an unconstitutional prior restraint that would be plainly not allowed. So there's no legal theory on which they can proceed. And at the end of the day, there's no damages that they can get in this case. So we would encourage the court to uphold the trademark usage finding by the district court. It was entirely correct. It was appropriately done at the threshold stage under the law of the circuit. But even if this court found some concern with that, there's plainly a First Amendment defense, which this court should hold applies to newspaper coverage as well as creative works. And we ask this court to affirm the judgment below. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We'll hear rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. Let me first start with this idea that there's a First Amendment right here. The district court found that there wasn't. There was no cross appeal taken on that issue.
And Mr. Cox, does there have to be a cross appeal here that the district court granted the Attorney General relief by granting its motion to dismiss? Is a cross appeal necessary to preserve alternative bases for the action of the judgment? I don't think it is it?
Well, the case of Wiggins versus Oakland Loan Servicing says, it's a Sixth Circuit case, 722 Fed Appendix 418. When a person seeks to enlarge their rights.
Okay, but the right here is the judgment of dismissal. The defendant is not trying to expand, get something in addition to the dismissal. The dismissal is all they wanted. This is just an alternative defense that they asserted. And it's my understanding alternative defenses do not have to be cross-appealed.
Well, they're seeking a general First Amendment right here for all uses of the phrase Derby Pass. So that's our position.
Yeah, the issue is preserved because it was raised below. It's been appealed, but I don't think that it's barred because of the lack of a cross appeal. That's all. I don't see the authority that you've cited as establishing that a cross appeal is necessary here. And if you've got some better authority, I guess I'd like to know what it is.
I don't have anything better than what's in the brief on that. Either.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And that case was in the brief. They cite this welcome to the D trademark case. And as we pointed out, the fundamental distinction there is it's a geographic mark. The court held that this was used to refer to Detroit. And under the statute, there's a specific exception for geographic marks. So I don't think that argument holds water. A question was asked about whether or not a review of a Chevrolet or some kind of automobile appearing in the Courier Journal would be an infringement. And I agree that there is a fair use right to review products. I think the Courier Journal could have a review of a Derby Pie as long as they said it was a Kern's Kitchen Derby Pie. And I think that would be appropriate, but we don't have that here. We have somebody else's Derby Pie, not ours, which the court said, well, this is different because it has different ingredients, and that simply doesn't matter a whit in terms of trademark. The question is, on a motion to dismiss, can you say for sure that nobody would be confused? And the answer is no. There's discovery which should be taken on the issue of confusion.
Counsel, just to make sure I understand you here, it sounded as though you were stating that the article in the Courier Journal, if the article had just added to the headline or to the presentation that this was talking about the captain's derby pie, the captain's quarters derby pie. Just adding that one word there, that this was captain's derby pie, would have removed the issue, and then you wouldn't have a argument. Just sticking in one or two words saying that this was captain's derby pie, and the whole case goes away from what you were saying. Is that right?
No, sir, no, I wasn't saying that at all. What I was saying was, if they reviewed a Kearns Derby pie, then that's fair use. They can review our product just like they can review a Cadillac. But when they have somebody else's product, the Captain's Quarters Derby pie, then it becomes a question, are they confusing that with our product? And I think they are. I think it's obvious that we have a product from Captain's Quarters that's not our product. That's why we have it. That's why we get a trademark. And even though the Courier Journal didn't make any money writing the article, as counsel conceded, we'd still be entitled to an injunction. And there's plenty of case law which says, if your trademark is misused, you're entitled to have the defendant do corrective advertising to let the public know that this was not Kearns Kitchen's product, and it should never have been advertised in the way it was. So corrective advertising is a damages-like form of relief that's allowed in these cases. I see my time has expired again.
All right. If there are no further questions from the panel, that will conclude the argument, and the case is submitted.